tradition, unlike many other Christians, we don't usually recite the creeds, do we? I know many of you will be familiar with the creeds, nevertheless. And they can be helpful. They can be a helpful reminder of the fundamentals of our faith and of our experience as Christians. Perhaps the most famous of the creeds is the Apostles' Creed. Some of you will have heard of it. Now, it has to be said, there's absolutely no evidence that it was actually composed by the apostles themselves, and the earliest record of it dates to the year AD 390. But it's traditionally divided into 12 articles, and one of each is assigned to the apostles, each one of the apostles, and if you're wondering, Matthias takes the place of Judas Iscariot. And the Apostles' Creed can be very helpful. Read it for yourselves later on. You may even want to say it as a declaration of faith. It begins at the very beginning with God the Father. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. You know where that comes from, don't you? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And I hope everyone listening can say amen to that statement. Because if you can't, well, frankly, not much else will make sense. The Apostles' Creed also teaches us about the Holy Spirit and what it calls the Holy Catholic Church. Now, I had a lot of trouble recently trying to persuade a lady that that doesn't mean that we're all Roman Catholics. It talks about the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And I hope as well that you can say amen to those, but not just agree to the statements, but that also those things are your experience. And in between the articles about the Father and the Spirit, and most germane to us today on Good Friday, it teaches us about the Son. It tells us about what we call Christmas. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost and born of the Virgin Mary. You remember that story, don't you? But then it jumps 33 years to Easter. And for all the wonderful things that Jesus said, and all the wonderful things that Jesus did in between, then you'll need to turn to the Gospels and remind yourselves. But referring to Good Friday, the Apostles' Creed says most solemnly, he suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, dead, and buried. Pontius Pilate is mentioned, and he's mentioned for a very good reason. It's a reminder that this is history. Look it up. And then gloriously, we move on to Easter Sunday and then Ascension Day. The third day, it says, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And then comes that last great hope. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. And on that day, every wrong will be righted and justice and truth will prevail. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing our next song before I look a little more at this subject. From Heaven You Came takes us the story from Christmas to Easter. Now, those of you who are familiar with the Apostles' Creed may have noticed that I skipped one of the Good Friday articles. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, check. He was crucified, dead, and buried, check. He descended into hell. Did he? When? How? Why? Well, today, as we reflect on his cruel sufferings, on his crucifixion, his death, and his burial, let's also consider that enigmatic assertion, he descended into hell. Some modern versions of the creed say simply, he descended to the dead. Others say that that article, he descended into hell, is referring to Peter's statement that he went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago. It is without doubt a mysterious verse. So I'd like you to meditate on these things with an open Bible and see where the Spirit takes you in your own thoughts. This isn't a Bible study today, it is a meditation. But as I pondered this in preparation, a thought came to me. What is hell like? Well, isn't hell dark? Didn't Jesus talk about people being put out into the outer darkness, where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth? And on Good Friday, didn't a strange darkness steal over the land at high noon, as we read? Dark fell as the light of the world was put out. Remember, his dusk is our dawn. And isn't hell a place of separation? Didn't Jesus tell a story of someone in hell and how he was told there was a great gulf between him and everybody else? And didn't we read how Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Separation. Sometimes we are alone or lonely. Some of you listening right now are in isolation. And for some of you, that means literally on your own. When Michael Collins was alone in the Apollo 11 command module, as Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin walked on the moon, Collins was further from any human being than anyone had ever been in history, except for Jesus. Because on the cross, not only was Jesus cut off from his mother, who stood at the foot, but they couldn't reach each other, from all his friends, some of whom anyway had denied him and run away, and all humanity, even his Father God denied him as he became our sin and suffered the curse of all who hang on a tree. One definition of hell is that hell is where God isn't. And that's where Jesus went so that we can be where God is. And isn't hell a place of heat and thirst? Didn't Jesus tell that story of the rich man in hell who yearned for just a drop of water on his tongue? And what was it that Jesus cried out on the cross? Didn't he say, I am thirsty? Now, I don't know whether Jesus went to hell then, but I do know that he was suffering from a hellish thirst. Do you remember how he said he was the one who offers us living water so that we will never thirst again? And yet he was the one who cried out with thirst. And how did they slake his thirst? We read it, didn't we? They offered him a sponge soaked in vinegar. A sponge. Have you ever wondered why a sponge should have been at the cross? Well, the answer is simple but unpleasant. Soldiers carried sponges, not as part of their military kit, as part of their personal kit. They carried sponges because they didn't have toilet paper. Now, that may not have been hell, but for Jesus, for anyone, that was hellish. His parched lips were smeared so that we might drink deep of the water of life. Darkness, separation, heat, and thirst. but also hope. You see, hell is a place of death, supremely the place of death. And we're told that Jesus gave up his spirit and died. But he said two other things, amongst others, from the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. And he said, it is finished. As he gave up his spirit and finished his work, so we receive our forgiveness. The Italian poet Dante said that above the gate of hell is written the words, abandon hope, all ye who enter here. That may well be true. Nobody's ever come back to deny it. But hallelujah, we do not pass through that hopeless gate. By faith, for us, for all who believe, death itself becomes the gateway to life. Christ died that we might live, and we live because Christ lives again. Hallelujah. Without a doubt, this is a Good Friday like no other in our experience. At the moment, we certainly don't need any lessons in death, do we? The numbers mount up. Some sufferers from the coronavirus, you read the quotes, they've even described it as hell. It isn't, but for them it feels like it. Take hope. The creed says on good authority that Jesus descended into hell. That means, amongst many other things, that means that whatever your personal hell is at the moment, whatever it is that is bringing you fear and anguish and suffering, Jesus can enter into it. Nothing, no one is beyond his love or his presence. Jesus descended into. So wherever you are this Good Friday, call on him now. And remember, it may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. Which means I can conclude these thoughts with a sincere and genuine happy Easter to us all. Amen.